Good afternoon, everybody. 306 at KFBK on a lovely Tuesday, September the 19th. Bob Grasswich in today for the Sheriff, John McGinnis. The Sheriff, I hope, is off enjoying himself. I never know what the Sheriff is doing, because even though I am the official Deputy Sheriff, I am the anointed person who comes in and replaces John most days, not every day, but most days. But he never tells me what he's doing. He never tells me what he's up to. And that's what makes him a man of mystery, the Sheriff. But we'll find out. He'll be back Thursday. I'm in tomorrow. Having a good time here at KFBK, as always. We are tracking the breaking news story of the day, which is that horrific earthquake in Mexico. It's about 100 miles due south of Mexico City was the epicenter. There are at least 44 folks dead at that point. At this point, there are presumably, and I hate to say this, but presumably many, many more. There were buildings collapsed, at least 20 buildings in Mexico City down, collapsed. Folks looking through the rubble now to help folks get out of that situation. Ironically, this is the 22nd anniversary of that 1985 earthquake, during which about 10,000 people were killed. And I'll repeat that number, about 10,000. It was the best estimate in 1985. This is the 22nd anniversary of that. And, of course, about 2 weeks ago, Mexico had an 8.1 earthquake that killed about 90 folks. So not a good day for Mexico, our neighbors and friends to the south. Not a good day for them, and we hope that they can dig out of this and have minimal loss of life. But we will be following that story as we move along today. I'm also tracking a story. I'm fascinated by this. This is it's Free Speech Week starting Sunday in Berkeley. Now, Berkeley really gets picked on, I think, unfairly here, because you don't have Free Speech Week at Chico, you don't have Free Speech Week at Sac State or UC Santa Barbara or UC Merced or places like that. They come to Berkeley. This Free Speech Week, which is being set up by a fellow by the name of Milo Yiannopoulos, you've heard of him. He's the organizer, and he's not off to a good start. Milo has had some difficulty putting his roster together for the big Free Speech Week. He's run into a lot of problems with the university. He hasn't been able to confirm too many of his speakers. So the university has pushed him. They've said he's not eligible now for actual indoor venues. They will let him speak at Lower Sproul Plaza there, which is the famed area just off Telegraph Avenue in Berkeley, right where the administration hall is, and the police department, ironically, at UC Berkeley Police Department, is in Lower Sproul. So they're going to let him have his event there. It'll run Sunday through Wednesday, apparently, we think. Milo is saying that the university is being unfair to him, that they won't allow him to have the buildings that he has offered, that he's asked for. They won't offer them because of his right-wing speech tendencies. And, of course, the university denies that. They say, no, we needed some money for security purposes. We also needed a bona fide roster of your speakers so we would know who is coming and who's not. And Milo has been having a tough time providing that. Now, we do have a couple of speakers that he has brought in who have confirmed their appearance. The first one I'll mention, this will be Sunday at noon. Miss Elaine, a Miami drag queen, she will be there speaking at Free Speech Week. Also, apparently on Monday at 5 o'clock, 5 p.m., there will be a street artist named Sabo and somebody named Monica Crowley. And then on Tuesday, David Horowitz, you know him, David Horowitz and Milo will be interviewing the Blackwater founder, Eric Prince. So that should be exciting. Wednesday, let's see, the roster for Wednesday here is not set, so we're trying to figure that out. Now, Ann Coulter and Steve Bannon, Milo said that they would be here, but they're apparently not coming. They were never confirmed, so Coulter and Bannon, no shows. What I'm thinking, though, is if to make this event really successful, to make this a real winner, our friend Milo should invite Nancy Pelosi. And here's why. Nancy, if you've been paying attention, you're listening to Tom's show, you've been paying attention to the news here. Nancy had a rude awakening yesterday in San Francisco. She was at a DACA conference, a press conference, actually. And Andy, do we have sound for let's get the best chunk of sound. This is what happened to poor Nancy Pelosi yesterday. Let's hit it.
Do you want to hear an answer, or do you just want to shout? Do you want to listen, or do you just want to shout? Just stop it now. Just stop it now. Let's stop it now. Just stop it. You are not helping the cause. Since you don't want to listen, we'll have to just go.
And that's Nancy Pelosi making her exit yesterday at a news conference, and she shouted down by apparently some folks who disagree with her views on DACA, or at least maybe her, it's not clear what they disagree with, but her, the sense is that they don't want her working with Donald Trump. They took exception to that. Pelosi, of course, being as far as I can tell, one of the most, one of the best friends of immigrants, of illegal and otherwise in this country, a total progressive politician, as you know, out of San Francisco. And the leader of the minority group in Congress, and a great fundraiser, a great organizer. But now she's been hooted down in San Francisco yesterday. So I'm thinking if Milo Yiannopoulos had half a brain, he would have Nancy come over and join him this weekend and next week and at the Free Speech Week. And I think she would be a fine addition to that. Now, of course, the problem is security, as we saw last week when Ben Shapiro came to Berkeley. Now, Ben Shapiro, of course, is a fairly normal person compared to some of the folks that Milo has invited here. So, but Ben spoke at Zellerbach Hall there, which is right adjacent to Sproul Plaza, and Ben's appearance cost the university $600,000. And that to me, of course, that's the problem. Is of course, and you know, this comes out of this is taxpayer dollars. This is our money. It's not Ben's fault. I can't blame him. But the University of California had to spend $600,000, in just keeping Ben and his audience safe that day. And then fortunately, there was no violence. It was a very low keyed event. It was far less than anyone had feared or hoped for. And depending on what side of that you're on. But it came off without a hitch, but it still cost the university $600,000. That's about three times what they budget annually for this kind of thing. So the University of California, Berkeley, Cal, they're running out of money here in terms of security, and we need to get that straightened out. Maybe Nancy and Milo can help along those lines. We got a lot to talk about today. We're all sorts of stuff. We're going to talk about the Amazon, which is trying to shake down cities across the country. And we'll explain why Sacramento is trying to get into this deal too, but this is a bad deal for Sacramento, and I'll explain why. Let's hope that this doesn't come off. Nobody really believes Sacramento will be successful in gaining Amazon, this new headquarters O2. But let's hope to God that doesn't happen, and I'll explain why here. We're also going to talk about something called the project. It's a brand new project in California. It's called California Listens, and this is a 220 digital stories that have been collected from folks up and down the state, and it's really kind of a fascinating project. It'll be coming to a library near you, sponsored by the State Library and some other folks, and so we'll be talking to some of the folks behind that as well. So do stick around. We've got plenty more show to come. Let me give out the phone numbers, too, if you'd like to join us. It's always a good idea to give a call early, because this show does not succeed without you. The phone number is 916-921-1530. That's in the Sacramento area, 921-1530. Toll free, 800-834-1530. I'm Bob Grasswich, in for the sheriff. Stick around. It's News Radio, KFBK.
The KFBK Afternoon News with Kitty O'Neill. Traffic every 10 minutes to help you get home. Stay informed. News Radio, KFBK.
R.E. Grasswich in for Sheriff John McGinnis. Welcome back to the big show. Tuesday, September the 19th, a gorgeous day in Sacramento. 321 in the capital city. We're talking free speech in Berkeley, free speech in San Francisco, or lack thereof. We're going to be talking about Amazon. We're going to be talking about digital storytelling in California. A real potpourri of topics today at KFBK. Let's go to the phones. We'll stay right in Sacramento. We're going to talk to Steve. Hello there, Steve. Welcome to KFBK.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great, sir. Thank you.
Say, you know, a free speech is not just you can say what you want, but you shouldn't have to pay to say what you want. And it seems to me that Antifa and the protesters ought to be paying for the security, because it's them that's causing the need for the security, not the person that's speaking.
Absolutely right. You know, Ben Shapiro, like him or not, love him, hate him or whatever, Ben Shapiro did not cause the $600,000 price tag that Berkeley hung on its cops for all their overtime. That was not Ben Shapiro's fault. And nor should he be blamed for that. And you're right. You know, this week they asked Cal asked from Milo to pay about $66,000 for security. Milo, I'm sorry, and Andy Clausen just straightened me out there. Milo, we've got it right. Milo, and I won't even say his last name, but not because, well, just because I can't pronounce it. But anyway, so that's about $66,000 that he paid for security, but that won't come near. That might be 10% or not even 10% because this event's going to go on for 4 days. So, yeah, if it's not the speaker's fault, but if you're going to have an event, particularly with Milo, if you're going to have an event that you know that you're really kind of poking the tiger in the eye, so to speak, I think it behooves you to pony up some money to help the university keep everybody safe. And I think that is critical. I think it's very important that we do that. I thank you so much for that phone call, Steve. I got to talk about the Amazon story that came out a couple of weeks ago, talking about how Amazon is looking for a second headquarters. And I was going to talk about this yesterday, but I didn't have time. And I'm worried about Sacramento. I'm extremely worried here because I know that Sacramento is going to try to make a pitch for this headquarters 2.0, they call it. And what they're talking about is a $5 billion investment. They're going to bring 50,000 people into the community, the winning community. It's called Headquarters HQ2. This will be a secondary headquarters equal to their headquarters in Seattle. They have an 8-page RFP, a request for proposals, that's out, and they've given cities until October the 19th to come up with a proposal to become the winning city. And they need 8 million square feet. They need tax incentives. They need public gifts. I mean, they need an awful lot. They're also asking for a vacant land, so they don't want to have to go into somebody else's old headquarters. They're looking for a transportation system. They want a top-flight education system. They need 1 million people in the community. They want an international airport 45 minutes away. They want highways, and they want direct flights to San Francisco, Seattle, New York, and D.C. The problem is these guys are worse than sports teams. You know, we're accustomed to sports teams in this country shaking down cities, coming in and demanding all sorts of things. And I was a journalist doing my journalism duty over at the Sacramento Bee for many years. I take pride in having helped kill, I think, 4 or 5 arena proposals, simply because they were not good for the city. The current arena proposal, the arena that's now sitting down on K Street, I think is a contrary to this point. I think it's the exception to the rule. In that case, it's about a 60-40 deal with the city putting up about 40% of the money and the team putting up about 60%. Far and away, the majority of the money was put up by the team. That building would not exist in Sacramento. There'd be no cultural center in Sacramento. There would have been no amenities at that part of downtown had it not been for that money spent. But that deal it looks like a terrific deal when you compare it to what Amazon is asking for. Amazon is asking for, and they're very cagey about this. They're saying that they want public gifts and tax incentives. They're not saying exactly what they mean by that, but you know that's going to mean an awful lot. And I hope that any city. Before they walk down the street with Amazon arm in arm, they think long and hard about that and the value of that. And, of course, the disruption in terms of gentrification, in terms of higher real estate costs, in terms of a lot of things, traffic disruptions, a lot of things that 50,000 employees working for Amazon will bring. It is not all a bed of roses. Trust me on that. Believe me on that. And fortunately, Sacramento does not appear to be in the running on this. It looks like Denver, Washington, some other cities may well be, but not Sacramento. So let's keep our fingers crossed and hope that Sacramento does not join that list. We've got plenty more show to come, so stick with us. This is Bob Grass, which I'm in for the sheriff. It's News Radio, KFBK.
One.com today.
President Trump delivered his first speech before the UN General Assembly today. Join us for all the news this afternoon at 4 on News Radio, KFBK.
Welcome back to the big program, R.E. Grass, which in today for Sheriff John McGinnis. I'll be back tomorrow as well, so do stick around. Talking all sorts of things, free speech today, the Amazon shakedown of our cities across our great country. Our poll question today, here it is. This involves the free speech events coming up in Berkeley and elsewhere. You heard what happened to Nancy Pelosi yesterday in San Francisco. Here's the question. Would the threat of violence keep you away from a speaker's event? Simple question. Your options over at KFBK.com are yes, it's not worth the risk. No, the police can keep the public safe. Or maybe it depends on where the event is being held. You can check out that poll over at KFBK.com at John McGinnis's page. You know where to find that. In studio guest here, I want to shift to shifting gears in a big way, though we're talking about speech, nonetheless, free speech. There's a fascinating project that I've just become aware of, and I want to bring in the gentleman here who's responsible for it. He is Joe Lambert. Welcome, Joe.
Glad to be here.
Thank you, Joe. And Joe runs something called the Story Center of Berkeley, and you've joined up with the California State Library to present something called California Listens. And this is a project where you've gone up and down the state collecting about 220 digital stories from just everyday people. So let me ask you, as we get into this, do these people have anything interesting to say?
Yeah. You know, I think everybody has a great story. You know, we're talking about free speech and we're talking about, you know, important characters who get big platforms. But most of us don't get big platforms. We live our lives, we have interesting things happen, and we don't think we kind of belong in the universe of media. You know, I've been working for years helping people share stories in small groups in contexts that are, you know, as personal as the family or local community organizations or local neighborhoods. The idea of this project is that the library is sort of our living room in all the communities that we visit. And that living room is a place where people can talk about stuff in a kind of neutral safety. And a couple of years ago, another political journalist like you, Greg Lucas, who became state librarian, wanted to help libraries begin to be more 21st century ready. And so he invited my organization that does this particular digital storytelling filmmaking process with John Q. Citizen, invited us to go around the state and collect these stories. So after a couple of years of going to 24 libraries, we're going to have a celebration here in Sacramento. So we're excited to be here in Sacramento and to kind of bring the popular voice into this state capital environment.
And the common voice, and common is not a pejorative, it's not a bad word in this case, it's the common voice is what makes the world go around, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up as sort of the spiritual godson of Studs Terkel, the great radio guy out of Chicago, and sure. I think he kind of created a mood that ordinary people's lives mattered. And when we look around the radio landscape, and even the film and television landscape, the whole idea of popular voice, even call-in radio, is part of the idea that the voices of the public matter. And so I think we're better than a library to create these kinds of environments where people can share stories, their oral histories if they want to make a big story, or our sort of, you know, short personal narratives that tell something really important about the life and the experience of a given individual.
Now, in the media world today, we hang on every single word that's spoken by a celebrity, no matter how ridiculous that word may be. So I'm wondering, are Californians, will they be ready to listen to themselves?
Well, you know, if you think about it, for everything in commercial society, there's a countervailing society. For the fast food, there's a slow food movement. For busy, hurried lives, there's yoga. And in some ways, we're the slow media movement. We're about slowing down and listening and connecting through story from person to person in ways that are still about the new medias and the new ways of distributing these stories through social media or through, you know, distribution channels that are available really to everybody. We're about giving people a chance to just stop and listen to themselves. And it turns out, just like they did, our grandparents did around the county, you know, hall or in the civic square or at the dinner table, people love each other's stories a lot. And it can be very transformative for people in the environments we create for them to share these stories.
We're talking to Joe Lambert, who is the genius behind, well, along with Greg Lucas and the folks over at the California State Library, the genius behind something called California Listens, which is a collection of 220 digital stories from everyday people up and down our state. Let me ask you, Joe, is there any sort of political component to California Listens? You know, will you get people on the left angry the way Nancy Pelosi did yesterday, or will you get people on the right angry?
No, I mean, again, I you know, Greg Lucas referred to the library as a sort of Switzerland, you know, meaning it is a safe place. It's a place for people to not feel like their opinions have to be negotiated. They can just come in and share experience with life, and everybody's got that kind of experience. So there, I have great stories of people on very different political points of the spectrum in the same workshop, listening to each other, understanding each other. So in the midst of this highly polarized world we're living in this country in particular, story is a kind of bridge building process across some of the divides that opinion creates.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And as now more than ever, really. Let me I ask you if you can come up off the top of your head here, come up with a couple of fascinating things that you learned while you were putting this project together?
Well, a lot of it is that California's diversity is everywhere. It's in the smallest towns. It's in the largest cities, obviously. The senses of dignity that people have and the way they make life work. You know, libraries are home for a lot of homeless people. I mean, any of us that are near an urban library know that it's a kind of way station for people right at the economic margin. And so learning how much these people's stories can be, you know, filled with dignity and power is an important part of the process, because I can have people who are, you know, Tesla driving middle class folks in the same room with somebody that's basically barely off the street, listening to each other as well and learning something about what's important to them. So to me, that's the main lesson of this, is that we can hear each other's stories in ways that the, if you will, the dominant culture is telling us, well, no, you know, you have to choose sides.
And you have that kind of diversity in the project.
Incredible
the homeless
diversity,
person to
you know, from the little towns up in Northern California to, you know, the rural towns of the Central Valley. And, you know, those stories are the ones I like stories about the invisible, the people who, you know, nobody hears their narratives. So we went looking a little, you know, for the kinds of libraries that don't get this kind of opportunity to share stories and to have their community involved in this sort of do-it-yourself process, because we're not media makers in a traditional sense. We basically run a workshop model where people get to learn the skills of video editing and audio recording. So in a very quick way, they get a sense of the mystery of media as being a little bit less intense for them. And as a result, they really feel it's their story. It's not a story we made on them. It's a story they made for themselves.
And these stories were made in libraries. You didn't bang on people's doors.
No, I mean, we got people to show up for a couple of days in all these places, spend two full days with us. You know, that we have a whole process we put them through. And then we did a little bit of work on the projects after the fact. And, you know, as I mentioned to you, we shot a documentary about the process to sort of capture that story. And as part of what we're doing in Sacramento next week is, you know, we want to share that, essentially premiere that documentary before we show it at the Mill Valley Film Festival.
Well, give us the, I'm sorry.
We'll be sharing it at the Mill Valley Film Festival as well, which is having its 40th anniversary this year. So
okay,
a very prestigious event for us to be part of. But yeah, what we're doing next week from 4 to 6 p.m. At the West Wing room inside, the East Wing room inside the Sacramento Public Library on I Street, we'll have a celebration. It's open to the public. It's free. You know, we expect Greg Lucas to say a few things.
George Lucas may, too.
He might
welcome,
show up.
Right?
We like filmmakers show up. But a lot of citizens and a lot of participants, both librarians and some of the storytellers, are coming up to Sacramento to be part of the event, because it really is, it's the largest event of this kind that my organization, working 25 years in the field, has done. We haven't been able to cover an entire state like this, so we're very excited about it.
Yeah, so this is Monday night, downtown at the I Street Library, mm-hmm. Sacramento County City Library, mm-hmm. And open to everybody, as you say, free, no charge. This is a great event, and you can come in and you can listen to, you can see the project and listen to what your fellow Californians are saying.
Absolutely, and you can find out a little bit more about it at storycenter.org on the web.
Storycenter.org, Monday night, and the time again Monday night?
4 p.m. to 6 p.m.
4 p.m., 6 p.m., so come on down and check that out. That would be terrific, and I wish you the very best. What a great project.
Thank you, Bob.
You know, what a great problem. I mean, we, as I say, we all we do all day long in this country of ours these days, it seems to be, well, other than fighting and arguing, is we listen to celebrities. We listen to the same talking heads over and over and over again. And this is an opportunity to hear what your neighbors are saying.
People just like you.
Yeah, thank you. Particularly me, right? Yeah, Joe, thank you so much. I appreciate that. That is Joe Lambert. He is with Story Center of Berkeley and working with the Cal State Library, and they have got a terrific program. It's called California Listens. It is the a collection of 220 digital stories from everyday people, and they will be rolling this thing out Monday night down at the downtown library, the main branch there at Sacramento Public Library on I Street, 4 to 6 p.m., so do not miss that. It is free. Check it out. I'm Bob Graswich, in for the sheriff. It's News Radio, KFBK.
Stay connected, stay informed. Sacramento's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio KFBK.
R.E. Graswich in for the sheriff. 3:53 in Sacramento. A lovely Tuesday, September the 19th, in the home stretch here in the John McGinnis Show. Talking all sorts of things today here at KFBK. We're talking about free speech, free and otherwise, and whether or not it is a safe thing to do these days. You saw what happened to Nancy Pelosi in San Francisco yesterday, or you heard what happened to Nancy. I didn't think I would ever feel sorry for her, but I certainly did yesterday. She was at a press conference to talk about DACA and immigration and some solutions, and she got hooted out of the room, booed and jeered out of the room. She walked out proudly, and good for her, I say. These rabble-rousers really wouldn't let her speak, wouldn't let her get her thoughts across, wouldn't exchange ideas with her, and so she left. We're talking about the program coming up at Berkeley starting Sunday, which will be a celebration of right-wing thought, we think. We're not sure because the final list of speakers has not been completed yet, but that'll be at Sproul Hall, at Sproul Plaza, out in front of Sproul Hall in Berkeley, or just off of Telegraph there. Also, talking about the shakedown Amazon. You know, Amazon is shaking down. It's really extortion, and I love Amazon. I mean, I get stuff from Amazon. I've sold my book on Amazon for a couple, 3-4 years now. Done. They've bought me a few beers on that book, so thank you very much for Amazon, but I can't get behind them shaking down, extorting cities for their new headquarters, and I certainly hope Sacramento does not get involved in this, though I'm afraid they will. They'll make a bid. But this is for the Amazon headquarters 2. This will be the sister or brother headquarters, the mirror image of the Seattle headquarters. $5 billion investment, they claim, with the 50,000 employees, making the average of $100,000, so all that's good. Problem is, Amazon won't leave it at that. They want you, the taxpayer, to buy everything for them. They want tax credits. They want grants. They want utilities. They want permits waived. They want relocation fees. They want the project paid for in a large degree, to a large degree, by the taxpayers of whatever so-called winning city. And I just hope that's not that is not Sacramento. Let Denver, let Dallas, let those other cities have that if they wish. I would be remiss if I didn't tell everyone to watch the Vietnam program, the Vietnam War program, Ken Burns, PBS. I've been watching this. It's a terrific show. I really, really love this program. And the top point that I got from the first couple of episodes was that had JFK lived, JFK would probably have gotten us out of Vietnam in his second term. And he made this point just a couple of months before he was killed. In November of 63, he was talking about how he knew that there was no way out of Vietnam, that it was not a winnable war. It was a terrible situation, and that we had to turn it over to the Vietnamese folks to let them decide what they wanted to do with their country. But he was afraid of losing a country to communism, as Harry Truman did with China. He was afraid of that. So he said, we'll hang on till we get through the election. I'll get my second term and then we'll get out of there. And of course, Lee Harvey Oswald in history said otherwise, so we shall never know. But I do highly encourage you to check out that PBS special, The Vietnam War. And if you don't have television, like I don't have television, but I watch it online. So there you go. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We will be back tomorrow on the John McGinnis Show, News Radio, KFBK.